You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
BC has the worst overall poverty rate, child poverty rate, and the biggest inequality gap of any Canadian province. On Monday of this week, the BC government surprised many when it announced a host of welfare policy changes. In all, almost 30 welfare rule adjustments were put forward. Anti-poverty activists acknowledge and celebrate the gains included in the changes announced Monday, but they condemn the government for its conspicuous failure to raise the welfare rates, which leaves recipients in all categories well below the poverty line. Other changes create further hardship by making people needing welfare wait 2 more weeks to get it. Raise the Rates is a coalition of community groups that want governments to reduce poverty in British Columbia. Bill Hopwood is an activist with Raise the Rates, and he joins me now. Hello, Bill.
Hi there.
Now, one of the positive changes in the rules is allowing working welfare recipients to keep more of their earnings. Now, the Liberals took that exemption away in 2002. Tell us about the new exemption allowances.
Okay, well, there's basically two categories, and for those who aren't familiar with the rules of welfare, I know this might sound complicated, but there's basically the category of those of people who are expected to work, and then there's a second category of people with disabilities. For those who are expected to work, able-bodied, you weren't allowed any earnings before, so you now can earn $200 a month, and before they take it back off you. So that's a step forward. I mean, it would be nice for it to be a lot bigger. And I mean, one of the things particularly for that group is you don't go from welfare to a full-time job. In fact, in this economic climate, you hardly ever do. So it'd be nice to have a more of a transition so you can actually begin to earn some money. So, you know, 200 is enough to stop you going hungry, but it's not really enough to get you on the road back to work. But it's a step forward. And for those with disabilities, they were allowed an earnings before of 500, and they've increased it to 800. However, the big question there is the vast majority of people on disability cannot work, you know, because they're on disabilities. So I think it's only about 20% of the people who get disability allowance who ever can ever do any work. So it's a nice increase, but it doesn't really get to the core of the issue.
What kind of changes benefit families on welfare?
I mean, I think one of the nice ones to see, and again, it's why was it ever different? Families in hardship, in some categories, didn't receive dental treatment. Their children didn't. So now all families in that category, the children will now get regular dental checkups, which is, it's so obvious. But why did they take so long to do it? They've also some technical details about children going to school now get a startup of $100, which was an increase from what it was before. And there's a really complicated thing about people who, if you got backdated federal child bonuses, like child benefit from the government, but it was backdated, the government of BC treated that as an income and therefore taxed it, and they've now changed the rules to remove that absurdity. So there's a lot of little things like that which are really tidying up things that you ask, why on earth were these ever in the rules in the first place? You know? So there are some, I don't know, housekeeping, common sense, good ideas, long overdue. But it's great that they're finally happening.
I understand that parents who don't have legal status in Canada, who are fleeing abuse but can't leave the country with their children, will now also be eligible for assistance. That sounds like an important change.
So again, yeah, there are other technical details. There are a whole bunch of details in there which will benefit either a small number of people, like you're saying, people fleeing or across the board benefits, you know. But, and it's a big but, is the bits that are missing.
Well, let's take a look at that because one of the changes, I understand, means that new applicants will now have to wait 5 weeks from the time that they apply until they receive benefits. What's that going to look like on the ground for someone who needs welfare?
It's going to look grim. And that's one of the ones you have to ask why. And I don't really know the answer. Because at the moment, first of all, in order to get welfare, you have to be destitute, right? You have to have virtually no assets. Let's be clear about that. The government has increased the amount of assets you can have slightly. But you have to, before you can apply, you have to be broke. You then have to wait 3 weeks. And this is one of the places where people fall into homelessness. Because they're already broke. They're waiting 3 weeks to get no money. They lose their apartment. They lose their rent because they can't pay any rent. They've now extended that to 5 weeks. So it's even going to be longer that you're going to have to get by with no money. So this is the place where people fall into homelessness, crime, sex trade. It's like, you know, it's one of those gaps in the system, except the gap has now been widened from 3 weeks to 5 weeks. And it is actually completely counterproductive, and it sort of mars all the other things. The other little improvements are almost all cancelled out by that one, which all the evidence is drives people further into desperate poverty.
Now, the government calls this a work search period. Is there any evidence that people don't look for work before they get...
Nobody in that... I mean, okay. Now, yes, you've touched on a philosophical debate, right? The government and those of their ilk think that people on welfare are on welfare because they're lazy, and they have to push them, prod them, or they often would say the word encourage them to go and look for work. I don't know anybody who's voluntarily on welfare. We used to joke when Le Groupe Barrar spent a month living on welfare that he was the only person we knew who would do this voluntarily. People don't want to be on welfare. They're desperately looking for work. And, you know, the real question is, you know, you can make welfare as miserable as you like, but if there are no jobs, and in BC there are not enough jobs, there's a lot of unemployment in BC, what are those people going to do? So is welfare designed to help people get by, which is what it was set up to do, and that's why it's called welfare, for the well-being, people to fare well. But it has become like a punishment tool. If you're poor, you're going to get punished. So, yeah, the five-week wait doesn't incentivize anybody. It just makes people more miserable.
So when you read about the changes and went through them all, what was your overall assessment for people who need social assistance in this province?
Well, it's small changes. Some of them are welcome, and, you know, most of them you go, well, why did it take you so long to do them? I mean, one of the ones that really strikes me that is missing, first of all, is it's presented as common sense and families first is the sort of marketing phraseology around these changes. And if it's common sense, why was it common sense today and not common sense last week? But the other is, one of the things they haven't changed is the clawback of child support. If you're a single parent and are receiving money for your children from the absent parent, every cent of that is taken off you by the government. That, to me, is just so much punishing children for their parents' unemployment, and the government hasn't changed that. That's a glaring gap. And then the big, 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 big gap is there's no money on the table. You know, people in Alberta, the welfare rate for a person on disability, I think, is around $1,800 a month. In BC, it's $900 a month. And you can't tell me that Alberta is twice as expensive to live in as BC. The welfare rate for a single person is $610, and you can't live on it.
What do you think it should be here in BC?
Well, I'll tell you what. The government says that they have what they call a market basket rate, which is based on how much thing costs in a particular neighborhood. So it's slightly different for different neighborhoods, different regions of Canada because of different prices. That's what the government says is the poverty line. It's not what I say, but that's what they say. And it is around 1,300 in Vancouver. So it's basically double welfare. And that's where it should have been. If welfare had kept pace with inflation from the early 80s, it would be over 1,000. So people on welfare have had a big cut because of inflation and not keeping track. So, I mean, welfare hasn't gone up for 10 years, I think, something like that. It's nearly 10 years since they raised welfare. You know, so it's... And I guess this gets us... I don't know how much time we've got, but this gets to the real issues. Poverty in BC, of which people on welfare are a significant part, but there's also the working poor, costs this province $8 or $9 billion a year in terms of bad health, crime, failed economic opportunities, educational problems, etc., etc., etc. Fixing it would cost us $3-4 billion. So we are wasting. You know, we're pouring money down the drain by keeping people in poverty. And that's the crazy part. You know, it's like if you had a house, would you do some repairs on it? If you had a car, do you just buy the car and then drive it till it falls apart? No, you do repairs. Well, the same is true of society. So spending some money to help people has economic benefits. And one of the really big ones is if you increase welfare and the minimum wage, it creates jobs. Because people who are poor spend every penny they get in their local community. So they go to the shops, they buy an extra loaf of bread, they might buy their kids a new pair of shoes, and that creates jobs in the community. You give tax cuts to corporations, they don't even invest it in this province. The money, it just goes somewhere else. So by tackling poverty, there are all sorts of social and economic benefits, both direct ones, that there's not so many poor people, but all sorts of indirect ones in terms of the benefits to the economy, the benefits to society. And it's like, that's the real issue. What sort of society do we want? Do we want a caring, sharing, inclusive society, or do we want a divided society with a few very rich people at the top? Because then right at the top of this program you said BC is the worst inequality. There's the choice. What do we want? Do we want the most unequal province in BC, in Canada, or do we want a fair, sharing province?
Been good to talk to you this morning, Bill.
Well, thank you very much for letting me share our thoughts with the people on your radio. And just can I say one thing, is thank you for everybody for supporting us, because this shows that politicians can be moved. We need just to push harder to get some really big, decisive movement. So thank you for everybody for your support.
And thanks for all the work you do.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Bill Hopwood. Bill is an activist with Raise the Rates in Vancouver.